Psalm chapter number 8. At one time I had this psalm memorized. You hear me say that a lot. I want to encourage you, if you're young tonight and have a young mind, to memorize the Bible while you're young. The Bible said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Verse number 4 is our text. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I can say amen to that, can't you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight something to be said to be an encouragement to our precious people. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'd clothe us in our calling. I realize, our Father, every time I stand, it could be the last time that I get to stand. So just help me, God, to do my best tonight for thee. Make us a blessing, our Father, to our people. And Lord, I pray you'd bless us and honor us with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been looking at some of the doctrines in the Word of God. I can't even list them all right now that we've been through. But we've looked at the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of God, and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Bible. And we want to look tonight at the doctrine of man. The Bible said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And really, you can wrap the doctrine of man up. We're going to try to look at these three things. I don't know if we'll get to all of them tonight. But you can wrap the doctrine of man up in three words. The word generation, it's God that made us. It's God that generated man, amen, that made man. And then there's the word degeneration. That's when man fell, amen, from the blessings of God and fell into sin. And then there's the word regeneration. That's where God puts us back in that right standing through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to key in tonight, if I can, on that word generation in the doctrine of man. And I'm glad I'm not confused about it. I'll be honest with you, there was a time in my life I wasn't saved, and I was being bombarded at school with the theory of evolution, and I knew better than to deny the Word of God. So in my mind and in my heart, I don't know that I ever told anyone this, but in my mind and in my heart, I tried to marry the two together. Maybe God created, but it happened the way that, you know, Darwin, and it won't work. Amen. Did you hear what I said? It won't work. Amen. I made up a riddle. I was under a welding hood, and when you're under a welding hood, it's kind of lonely under there. And I made up a couple of riddles when I was welding, and one of them was, what was the first thing that Adam said to Eve after the fall in the garden? He said, look at there, woman, you done eat us out of house and home. Amen. Think about that for just a minute. Then I made up another riddle. I said, what was the first thing that Charles Darwin said when he was old enough to talk? He said, I'll be a monkey's uncle. I thought they were pretty good riddles. Amen. I'm not as wise as Solomon. Amen. But I thought it was a pretty good riddle. Let's talk about God. He made man in his own image, the Word of God said. He formed us from the dust. And he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Did you know that God was mindful of man? And this is kind of getting ahead of yourself into the regeneration part. But God was mindful of man before He even made man. Isn't that wonderful? And before December the 31st, 1959, God was mindful of a young man that would need Christ in his life. And I don't know about you, but that blesses me to think about that. Man I want you to just think about everything that God made, but man was the crowning work of everything that God made. And it's man alone that has the ability to see God in His work. Turn to Romans chapter 1 just a moment. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Romans chapter number 1 for just a minute. I'm just going to turn to the text with you. Sometimes I print the scriptures out, but I want you to see it tonight. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 19 and verse number 20. The Word of God said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. The animal kingdom, they don't recognize the works of God. Amen. But God, the Bible said, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, watch this now, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's another place I wrestled with. And I think even after I was saved, sometimes I wrestled with this. God, there are people in the world where it's dark, Brother Chris. There's no light. I'm talking about there's no gospel light. But you know what God said? It said that heavens declare the glory of God. And I promise you this, that somewhere, everywhere there's a cult, everywhere there's a false God set up, somebody turned their back on the God of heaven. Amen. And it's the grace of God that you and I weren't born in a place like that and grew up in a place like that. And we're fighting overseas right now, people that believe if they die in the battle, they're going to heaven. They're going to have 70 virgins waiting on them. Amen. And I'm telling you what, they believe it sincerely. But you better know this. You can be sincerely wrong. Amen. You bypass the cross. You bypass Calvary. You bypass the Word of God. And you can be as sincere as you want to be. But you'll be wrong. And in the end, you'll lift your eyes at a place called hell. Man is that God's crowning work. Man can recognize the evidences of God's wisdom. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 104 for just a minute. Psalm chapter number 104. These are things that is absolutely impossible for the animal kingdom to do. Chapter 104, and I think we're going to read verse number 24. Psalm 104 and verse number 24, it says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. God gave man the ability to recognize that. And no one else is going to do that. I've quoted a verse a while ago from Psalm 119, how that the heavens declare the glory of God. Look at Psalm chapter 50 and verse number 6 tonight. Psalm chapter 50 and verse number 6. Here's what the Bible said. It said, and the heavens shall declare His righteousness. Not only do the heavens declare His glory, but the heavens declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself. You know what I believe? I believe if a man, it doesn't matter how dark the country is he lives in, I believe he looks up there and he listens, that God can speak to his heart. Amen. Their Creator. You can't limit Him. Look at chapter 97 and verse number 6 in the book of Psalms for just a moment. These are the same truths being declared. The Bible said the heavens declare His righteousness, and what's that next word? You know what all means? All the people see His glory. Now what about that? No wonder the Bible could say in Romans, so that there's that word again, all. are without excuse. I'll tell you this, our God never makes a mistake. There'll never be anybody in heaven by mistake, and there'll never be anybody in hell by mistake. He never makes a mistake. Amen. And I think it's good that we can recognize those evidences of His wisdom. Man, also, if you look at Psalm 150, we marvel at His power. By the way, I believe that's one of the things that's missing today. We don't marvel like we should. I'm telling you, when we look in the eyes of our young'uns and our grand-young'uns, we ought to marvel. When we go over there to the hospital and we look into the eyes of a man like Brother Junior Taylor, we ought to marvel. That man, you mentioned Brother Don's funeral. They too have stayed by the stuff. They never wavered. And that ought to cause young people to say, hey, I'll tell you what it's done for me through the years. They made it. And I can make it by the grace of God. I can make it. I can cross the finish line for the glory of God. The Bible said in Psalm 150, verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. You know, that tells me right there something I've said for years. If the only praising you ever do is in here, I feel sorry for you. Amen. I tell you, I can't tell you the times I've stood in the backyard walking from the building down to the house and looked up in that sky and tears welled up in my eyes and knew that there was somebody that was looking down on me just the same as I was looking up at Him. He knew what I needed. Amen. And He'll stir your heart just to think about, beloved, we can marvel at His power. And you know, Bob, you were talking about them turbines and things today your dad worked on and those power plants. But, you know, God didn't even have to. He just spoke. Good night. Amen. That mountain over there, they're trying to bury their nukes down in that mountain. I forgot the name of it. Amen. But I want to tell you something right now. We may not be able to reach them, but I know one who can. He spoke a mountain into existence. Amen. He did. And He loves us tonight. He'll take care of us tonight. And then man, it's man that has the ability to appreciate God's goodness. Do you appreciate His goodness? Listen tonight. Turn to Psalm chapter 33 for just a minute. I hope that you do, and I believe that you do. In Psalm chapter number 33, in verse number 5, the Bible said, He loveth, let me read verse 4 as well, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Did you know we're prone? Has anybody ever seen the illustration? I could take this, and it's not a very big piece of white paper, but I could take this. Maybe you've seen the illustration, and I could ask you, what do you see? What do you see? Yeah, that's the way we all are, Brother Chris. About all we see is the black dot. We don't see all that white paper. Everybody got that? That's how we go through life, ain't it? Amen. In other words, we miss the goodness of God because of the black dots. Every one of us is going to have black dots. We're going to have health issues. We're going to have people, beloved, that we love, leave us. Amen. But we miss all that white paper. And that's the illustration, Brother Chris. I've showed that years ago. And if we're not careful, I've said this about children. We have four. One of them's not went the right way. If we're not careful, you'll forget to thank God for the three that did go the right way. Am I right or am I wrong? And it's the goodness of God. The animal kingdom can't appreciate the goodness of God. And shame on us if we don't appreciate the goodness of God. When I eat my meal, often I'm reminded of people that are eating out of dumpsters that would give anything to have what Miss Eve throws in the trash when we're done. They give anything to have it. We don't throw much in the trash, not since they come out of the microwave. Amen. My whole dinner tonight was reheated. And it was good. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, it'd be good for us. You see, that verse of Scripture, I believe, does not only work for sinners. I believe it works for saints. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. There have been times, Brother Jason, when God had to whoop me. I wasn't in the right way, in my heart, in my mind. But there's been times He didn't whoop me. He smothered me. He smothered me in His goodness. It made me plumb ashamed of myself. It don't matter which way He does it. I'm just glad He does it, aren't you? He ain't going to leave you in the wrong path long. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Look at Psalm 139 tonight. Boy, I'm not making much headway, but I'm having a good time trying to get there. Psalm chapter 139. We're talking about we can appreciate the goodness of God. Man, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We're those that can appreciate his goodness. Look at Psalm chapter 139. The Bible said in verse number 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in the book of thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Now here's something I want you to see. Look at verse 17. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me." I don't know about you tonight, but it's pretty precious to think that somebody like him thinks of somebody like us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee." These are things, beloved, listen, that as we talk about the doctrine of man, and listen, I'm talking about now in the beginning, the way God made man. Amen. It's man that's able to appreciate God's goodness. John Milton, he was a blind poet. He wrote this. He said, "All these wondrous works, but chiefly man." God made man. Amen. God saw that it wasn't good for a man to be alone, so he made him a woman. Isn't that wonderful? Our God. Amen. I want to read something to you that F.B. Meyer wrote that I think will help us in this area right here. He said, "Man was placed in the world like a king." And listen, even in our preaching, I believe lots of times, Brother Vince, we miss the, I said we. We're dealing with fallen man now, and we're dealing a lot with regeneration, but how often do we even think about how it was in the beginning when God made a man? And let me give you something that'll excite you. It's going to be that way again. You think about that. Amen. He said, "Man was placed in the world like a king in a palace, stored with all to please him, monarch and sovereign of the lower orders of creation." You know God set man over all the animal kingdom. He said, "The sun to labor for him like a very Hercules, the moon to light his nights, or lead the waters of the earth in tides, cleansing its shores. Elements of nature to be His slaves and messengers, flowers to set His pathway, fruit to please His taste, birds to sing for Him, beasts to toil for Him and carry Him, and man himself amidst all this luxury, God's representative, His vice regent. This is man as God made him. That's something to think about, is it not? Amen. God has been good, youngins. And in the doctrine of man, we need to see that He made us this way because He loved us. Man is very different from the animals. I want to give you a couple things right here. I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. I wrote out from that statement, I was going to go into some things. Man is very different from the animals, although some act worse than animals. I said it, and I'll say it again. Anybody that stand behind somebody at the subway and shove them off in front of the train, you'll not find a dog doing that. Anybody that'll walk up behind somebody on the subway, slit their throat, you'll not find a dog doing that. I'll tell you, the curse of sin has drugged this man way, way, way down. Way down. As we look at this for just a moment, I'll ask a few questions. What animal can express through his thoughts? Get his thoughts expressed in speech. There's not an animal that can do that. You might get a parrot that would repeat some words that a man, or is that a parakeet? I don't know which one it is, amen? But anyway, I know one thing, I don't want one. Say amen. I think I'd do some shotgun practice, amen? Turn that thing loose in the backyard, amen? Miss Eve's cringing, I better stop. Pray for me, Brother Rick, amen? Amen. Who would want a parrot or a parakeet? You got one? If you got one, you're mad at me. So get in line. Amen. And animals, they have instinct, but they don't have intellect. Did you know that this something just come to my mind, and it's kind of elementary, but it's something to think about. Every time God made something, it was after His kind. After His kind. After His kind. Nowhere in that process did a dog turn into a cat or a cat turn into a dog. And that's still the way it is today. Amen. Let me just stop and say this. It takes more faith to believe the theory of evolution than it does to believe the Word of God, because they have absolutely no facts to base it on whatsoever. I'll tell you this. It's funny. I heard it years ago, but B.R. Lakin's grandson, he went to college, and the professor, he taught him that the virgin birth was a biological impossibility. And he came home and told his grandfather, B.R. Lakin, what the professor said. He said, son, I'll tell you what to do. He said, you go back in the morning and tell that professor what a biological impossibility is. He said, that's when something got into nothing. He said it formed a blob, and it washed up on the shore, and one day it grew some legs, and it climbed up a tree, amen, and it was swinging on a branch by its tail, and he said its tail broke off, and he hit the ground, stood upright, walked across the street, bought a suit of clothes, and became a professor in one of our universities. He said that's what a biological impossibility is. That's what that outfit believes. You don't believe that, do you? I believe God made man in His own image. Amen. By the way, it gets even better. We'll get into that in a minute. It's impossible to reconcile creation with evolution. You'd have to answer these questions. At what point does an irresponsible animal, their passion, turn into moral obligation? At what point in that did that turn into that irresponsible passion that an animal has? At what point did it turn into moral obligation? At what point does a spiritual nature or the gift of immortality appear? You can't answer that, and they can't either. At what point, if you say you got a semi-animal, semi-savage, can one say that it was created in the image of God? You just can't do it. Amen. And I believe with all my heart that the Bible teaches us, amen, better than these things, don't you? In the doctrine of man. Man was created by divine, direct, definite act of God. I want you to go with me to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. I think this is a beautiful passage of Scripture. And it really goes along with the whole lesson on the doctrine of man. Paul stood in the midst, this reading in verse 22 of Mars Hill, and he said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you." You mentioned the woman at the well. That's same thing. She didn't know. "What that God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." That reminds me of my dad witnessing to men through the years. My dad would tell a man, "Brother David," he'd say, "Sir, the breath you have in your chest is yours. You've breathed it in. The next one belongs to God. He can give it to you, or he can take it away from you." If you don't believe that about our Father, then you don't understand the Bible. Amen. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. "As certain of your also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device." Now watch verse 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at." But it's different now. "But now commandeth all men." There's that word all again. All. "Men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead." God said, just as sure as Jesus got up, there's judgment day coming. Amen. And all men that God created will stand before him. We're created in that divine image, in his own image. Look at Hebrews. This will give you something to think about tonight. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 1. I think we know this verse, but it may give you just a little bit different twist on man tonight. Think about man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I'm going to read it in its context. First one, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath spoken in these last days unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's where you can get John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now look at verse number 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now you tell me, was Jesus an ape? No. No. It's crazy, amen, to believe such a thing. God said the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. What is man that thou art mindful of him? It's hard for us to fathom man in his original state, is it not? It's hard to fathom Adam and Eve in the garden. I don't know how long before they fell, but I know they fell. I don't know how long before the evidence of the fall came. I believe with Adam and Eve, it was immediate. Immediately, they knew they were naked. Immediately, they ran and started sewing some fig leaves together to try to cover their nakedness. I don't believe it would be long until there'd be some boys born. Then it ain't going to be long until death has come into that first family. Death by sin. Cain slew his own brother, Abel. You know, God made us the way He made us. That had to break their hearts. Amen? That had to break their hearts. We're created in that divine image of God. God is dealing with the creation of man. He first, I'm going to wrap up here tonight. We'll come back to this and get on through the message, but the lesson. But God, in His, when He's dealing with the creation of man, with the natural man, this is good. You can think about this as you leave tonight, and we'll come back to it. I'll go into some detail on it. But that's from the outside in. But when God is making that second Adam, that new man, it's made, Brother Chris, from the inside out. Just the opposite, amen. He's a good God, isn't He? I don't know about you, but I want to honor Him, don't you? I want to serve Him, amen. I'm glad He was mindful of man. It's untelling where we'd be, everyone in this building tonight, if it wasn't for a Father that loved us, had us on His mind, amen. I appreciate you coming tonight. We'll wrap up right